I have since I was a kid. And simply because I loved ice cream, and going to the ice cream shop was about the best thing I could think to do. And I thought it would be a super fun job. That was the only reason. But in my head, I thought, yeah, one day maybe I'll have an ice cream business. And, you know, I would make ice cream in my home kitchen when I was older, and I enjoyed it a lot. And it was fun to create flavors, but I don't know. I have two different degrees and different things that have nothing to do with business or food or anything. So
it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, we started off with some creative flavors at the time, but also a lot of your traditional basic flavors. But I think for us working, what was really very thankful for when we started working with chefs in restaurants, we would get a lot of requests from chefs of, okay, this is kind of what I'm looking for. And that was kind of the catalyst to push us to get look at things in a different way, more creative of what we could create.
Hello and welcome to Food Crush, the On the Walkie podcast for people who eat. I am your co-host, Matt Miller, culture editor at On Milwaukee, and I am joined, as always, by Lori Frederick, dining writer at onmilwaukee.com. Surprise! Twist, she's here. How are you doing, Lori?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Did you watch the Emmys last night? The Emmys were last night.
I missed the Emmys last night. I was doing all sorts of projects at my house.
That was probably a better use of your time, all things considered.
Watching some new horror series called Marianne.
Oh, on Netflix.
Which I'm not sure is, I don't know. Scary things do bother me a little, as in my imagination goes wild and I probably shouldn't watch them, but...
What's your favorite scary movie? It is almost the... It is pretty much the Halloween season right now. What's your favorite scary movie, Lori?
I don't know how to pick favorite scary movies.
You can pick multiples. I will allow maybe, you to not...
Maybe it's like The Conjuring or something?
It's good.
Scary.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I don't know. I'd have to flip through a list. That question came out of nowhere.
Surprise! And also, we have guests who've been chuckling. chuckling at me putting you on the hot seat.
I've been on the hot seat,
which is ironic because they're here to talk about a cold treat.
Hot seat, cold treat.
Transition.
Nice. So now we are here with the always lovely Lauren and Steve Schultz of Purple Door Ice Cream. And you are always lovely.
Oh, that's very that's kind of you.
That was a nice transition,
and
too.
Just, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel. You're always smiling, you know.
Yeah,
when I see
you. We try.
You.
Sometimes. A lot of the times, it's fake.
So, no.
We're burying the sadness behind us, but it's...
Yeah. Maybe fake is the
wow. This podcast
took a turn.
Dark. We're going
the Conjuring
some pretty despairing
then.
Directions on this podcast.
Purple Door Ice Cream owner is really evil.
Yeah. So let's start with my
star.
Yeah. So let's start with my first question. Is there a God, and why not?
I'll give you for hours.
I thought we were going to talk about fun things like ice cream.
Yeah, let's talk about fun things like ice cream.
Let's do that instead.
I'll save my horror movie question for the end so they can think about it a little bit.
Purple Door is 8 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
8.5 years old, almost.
I know. 8.5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's going to kindergarten.
And what's your marker? What's your marker for that anniversary? Is this like the first pint you sold or
first gallon, mm-hmm. I believe, was to Pastiche Bistro on April 14th.
Yep. To Mike Engel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they're
April 14th,
right on KK.
2011.
Yeah.
Is that
correct?
Wow.
We have a picture of us.
Vanilla.
Yeah, it was vanilla with a taped on label because our labels had not arrived yet, our first labels. It was a taped
it's
on
fancy.
Paper label on the gallon. Mm-hmm. And we have us, two, Mike, and I think Simon, our youngest
was
with us.
9 months old, yeah.
Because you started an ice cream company the same year that you had a child.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then another one soon after.
Which is what all smart people do.
Don't do it.
We are not recommending this for any human being to do. It just kind of happened that way.
Yes. But let's go way, way back because you guys have a really sweet story. Lauren, you've wanted to do ice cream forever.
I have since I was a kid. And simply because I loved ice cream and going to the ice cream shop was about the best thing I could think to do. And I thought it would be a super fun job. That was the only reason. But in my head, I thought, yeah, one day maybe I'll have an ice cream business. And
did
then,
you think that would really happen?
No.
Mm-mm, no.
Not really. I would make ice cream in my home kitchen when I was older and I enjoyed it a lot. And it was fun to create flavors, but I don't know. I have two different degrees and different things that have nothing to do with business or food or anything. So
you can't major in ice cream?
That was not the school that I was at.
They both became teachers.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
We were both teachers when we opened Purple Door.
Mm-hmm. We were.
Yeah. Older, younger kids?
I did the whole spectrum. I was a special ed teacher with deaf and hard of hearing kids.
Oh,
so
wow.
Birth to 12th grade. Mm-hmm.
As a high school counselor for, 9 through 12.
Oh, wow.
So did that for 11 years.
Yeah. See, so we can ask Steve what direction our lives should take.
You should ask him. Really good
advice. I'm at the point where I don't have to be as diplomatic when I speak. So yeah, whatever you guys need. I'll just straightforward and straight talk.
Well, Matt, I got to tell you, you've been a failure. You should consider alternate
bad choices. Bad choices.
So many bad choices.
But you guys made some good choices. So,
seamless transition.
I'm so impressed by these transitions. Seamless. You guys are pros.
Well, it was sort of seamless, and then all of a sudden I got scared by that. I was like, that was way too crazy. But anyway, tell the story of how you told Steve that you wanted an ice cream place.
It was our very first date at, we were living in Minnesota at the time, the Riverview Wine Bar in Minneapolis. And we've had several glasses of wine, and I decided, why not tell this guy that one day I want to open an ice cream business? He won't think I'm crazy.
And it was the fourth glass of wine, and I thought, this sounds like a fantastic idea. Your timing was impeccable.
Everything sounds good after the fourth glass. Absolutely. Trust me. I mean, Paul and I have hatched some pretty failing plans after. But yours worked out a lot better.
It did.
And you found out that the guy you were dating, was brave enough.
he was legit. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it wasn't until after we were married that several years after, we relocated to Milwaukee from Minnesota. And a couple of years after that, then we started Purple Door. We were both still working at the time. And we made ice cream on nights and weekends just to see if it would take off at all. And lucky for us, it did.
It did. And I have to say that it was the fact that you wanted to. You had this idea that you wanted to open up a shop on her first date when you told me that.
All right. Won him over.
That was one of the hooks. I didn't know if she's making that up or not at the time. But right.
You're like, this is
good
is
effort,
great.
If nothing else.
No matter what, I will eat well. Yeah. I will eat deliciously.
I love this woman.
Now he's cursing it
I'm
out.
I'm riding those coattails all the way to the bank.
Right.
It's interesting when you guys started Purple Door, and the place that you did, because obviously, this is Wisconsin. This is famously custard country.
Yes.
And at the same time, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I think it was around that time, that's when the big frozen yogurt kind of thing hit. Where and so what was it kind of like being like, we're going to do an ice cream place in the middle of this?
Hits every 10 years.
It does.
And then it falls away.
Yes.
And everybody's like, blim, why did we want that?
It hits really hard.
And it comes back again. Yeah.
And they all have the same names. They're all like Fro-Yo or Yo.
Yeah. Because Fro-Yo is big in like 1995 and 96 by like the...
And they're still stuck in that surge
and the
era.
80s, like the mid 80s, it was big
and
too.
So I feel like really, like every 10 years, it has a 3 or 4 year wave.
And then it goes off for a while.
It becomes popular, and then everyone eats it, and it's just like, oh, that's why I stopped. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then they go back to ice cream and custard. Again, that say, well, it's not really that much better for you.
Right.
The fat is lower, but it's a lot of sugar.
Uh-huh. Right. Anyway. It comes back. Everybody loves it.
Yeah. But anyways, what was
Matt's question.
I had a point. What was it kind of like opening in, I don't want to say it's treacherous times, but it was like Custard City, frozen yogurt is kind of blowing up. What was it like being like, hey, we're going to do an ice cream shop.
Yeah.
This is what we want to do.
It was a little scary. Like we were not sure if people would embrace us as an ice cream company in Milwaukee. Custard's everywhere, and we knew that. But we also thought, well, we could differentiate ourselves in that regards. And we chose to do, a really good ice cream that's, super premium, so it still has that richness to it and that good butter fat. And
technically, custard is ice cream, but not all ice cream is custard. So
correct.
Explain yourself there a little bit, Lori, for the dumb listeners.
Well,
like me, I'm not calling the listeners dumb. I'm calling me stupid.
I mean, the main differentiator for custard is the fat content and the amount of eggs.
The egg yolks
in the ice cream. And so it's technically still ice cream, It's just a richer form of ice cream that happens to have its own name. It's sort of like the whole, you know, every rectangle, every square is a rectangle, but rectangles are not squares.
Interesting.
Four sides.
Yeah, I know what a rectangle is, Lori.
Equal sides as well.
These are teachers here, so I think,
you know.
We got it.
We're getting
connected there.
This has been a great podcast. I've insulted all of our listeners, and now I've been insulted in return. It's great.
Well, you were dissing on me pretty hard beforehand, so.
Well, and you deserved it, yeah. I also have to know about, because one of the interesting things about Purple Door ice cream is obviously the flavors. And I feel like there was this kind of explosion around that time too of ice cream places taking on these kind of risky flavors, stuff like old fashioned and boozy ice creams. Was that always a part of the plan to try these interesting, weird flavors? Or was that kind of like seeing where winds were blowing and kind of being like, this is how we can stand out?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, we started off with some creative flavors at the time, but also a lot of your traditional basic flavors. But I think for us working, what was really very thankful for when we started working with chefs and restaurants, we would get a lot of requests from chefs of, okay, this is kind of what I'm looking for. And that was kind of the catalyst to push us to get look at things in a different way, more creative of what we could create. So specifically some of the boozy flavors, working with Kurt Fogel, he wanted a whiskey ice cream. We had never made a whiskey ice cream, but it was that kind of that push to what he wanted that helped us kind of get creative and figure something out for him. And
this was when Kurt was with the Surge Group, correct?
Yes.
For Carnivore and
yep.
Correct. He was the pastry
absolutely.
Chef.
Mm-hmm. So it's, we've worked with so many wonderful people, you know, so many wonderful chefs over, you know, the past 8+ years. And it's some of that creativity, they've really kind of initiated us to.
Did anyone ever request a savory thing?
Sure. Yep. Anyway, yeah. Well, it depends on what do you mean savory.
Well,
I mean, specifically, what are you looking at? Because we had.
I think the more interesting way to ask that question is, what's the weirdest flavor that you've had to make?
Okay, all right.
We
all right,
did. And it was a complete disaster. It was.
Which one?
With the meat. Right at the beginning. Do you remember that?
Oh, I don't.
Meat ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting what kind of meat it was. It was before we made the bacon flavors.
I'd have a blank on that. But there's other savory flavors, though, too.
Yes,
right?
But I guess I was going in the far end I'm thinking of that, of what's the weirdest thing that we put in that turned out to be a disaster. Yeah. And that
I mean, you can
good.
Put most anything in ice cream, right? It's... doesn't always taste good, but you really can put most anything.
I was perusing recipes. I had some chanterelle mushrooms not long ago, and I was perusing recipes for chanterelles, and I happened upon a chanterelle ice cream recipe.
Really?
Make it?
I didn't, because I was like,
coward.
I have these beautiful mushrooms. I'm not going to risk them all for the sake
That's
of an
fair.
Ice cream. But
coward.
To me, it was interesting, because chanterelles have sort of an apricot... They're fruity and earthy, as mushrooms go.
Could be good.
So it could be very good.
Yeah.
But I also know that there, you know, restaurants use ice cream sometimes, or more likely sorbet, but things as palate cleansers or as accompaniments to dishes. So
yeah,
I was curious if you
and
had
there's
made
some restaurant
any...
like different cheeses we put in the ice cream. We do the olive oil ice cream, balsamic vinegar.
Oh. Sure.
You know, different herbs and things that are a little more savory. And, yeah.
We've stayed away from the meat idea for quite a while now.
Apparently.
have you done any of those flavors that you were like, maybe we should serve this at the scoop shop?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I don't,
sorry.
It's always,
I'm totally blanking on that one.
On the spot, yeah.
You put the bad ones out of mind.
I know.
We get asked that question a lot. And I always come up with bad answers, you know, because I mean, there's some that just did not turn out. They're good ideas, but they just didn't turn out. Like early on, I think we tried the peach ice cream with fresh peaches, but it depends on the peach.
It was so sweet.
It just didn't turn out. That was early on. We've since figured that out, but it wasn't good.
Yeah.
Our first run at that. I was over at Skyline Catering, working in there.
Yeah. Well, I'd imagine, I mean, because you're starting a company. How was it scaling up from like making ice cream at home
It was hard.
To using, you know, to making bigger batches.
Yeah, it was a lot harder. And just sourcing the ingredients at that scale, you know, was something that, again, we had never had a business before. Worked in kitchens or anything. So it was all kind of new to us. But once you get the hang of it, then, yeah, no problem. But
yeah, I remember meeting you and you were working in a little commercial.
That was at Skyline Catering.
Yeah, we met you in the front of the house at Skyline Catering.
Yeah. Yeah, we just rented space from them.
And you were delivering ice cream in your car.
Yep. Before we would go to school.
The little Prius ice cream mobile. Yeah.
Aww.
Wow. So all of that has changed.
Did you call your car a Coldsmobile?
We should have. We wish we knew place. You then.
See, we gave you a recipe idea with the chanterelle mushrooms.
We should be writing all this down.
We are writing down this
branding idea for the Coldsmobile.
There's still time for all of this.
A lot.
Yeah. I expect a Coldsmobile in a year. We'll reconvene right here.
Perfect.
There we go.
We did have a bike. One of Lauren's friends said he would create a bike for us that you could bike around and deliver the ice cream. And as you're pedaling, it's creating that, you know, just keeping a box cold.
Yeah. I think that exists now, though.
It probably does.
But this was at our wedding, like 12 years ago, that's his wedding gift for us. We never saw it. He did not follow through on that.
There was a few follow-up phone calls, but just nothing ever ever happened.
Was that one going to be called the Icicle?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
The Bicycle, yeah.
But that was
keep
them
coming,
idea.
Matt.
I'm a little tired. I don't know if that's coming through. I have an important question to ask. So we talked about that you have the whiskey flavored ice cream, mm-hmm. and you had the old fashioned flavored ice cream, and you have other. Do you have other boozy flavored?
Oh ice yeah, creams quite
as
a
well?
Few.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, can I get drunk eating this ice cream?
You cannot.
And how many times we get that question is like a million and a half about that.
Yeah, but a million and a half and one now.
So we don't burn off the alcohol in them. But there's, you know, alcohol doesn't freeze. So there's only so much alcohol you can put in ice cream. So it's really finding the balance of what you can get in the ice cream to bring out the flavor before it becomes too much where the ice cream is not going to freeze appropriately.
It's just going to be floating, yeah.
So you really can't put all that much alcohol into the ice cream. So no, you would not get...
In fact, technically, I mean, you can choose whether you can allow your kids to eat it, but
oh, sure,
they would be fine.
They would be perfectly fine.
Which is also, you know, you're dealing in a world that appeals highly to kids. So
you
want to make things they can't eat.
Devastating news for my ice cream themed rager I was going to have this week.
You can still have it.
You can make boozy shakes.
There you go.
There we go.
That's a little different.
And then you know.
Or what did we have the other night, Steve? We had vanilla ice cream and we put sherry on top with some almonds.
Mm.
Delicious.
Oh, wow.
That was delicious.
That would be
That's
good.
Quite real good. Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
literally, because it was Sunday yesterday.
Right. Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Oh, we could spend a while talking about things that are good on ice cream. Balsamic vinegar is great on ice cream.
Oh, delicious. Mm.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot now. That's becoming a very popular...
Which is
popular...
actually becoming a thing. Yeah,
it's like a restaurant.
I remember trying it like 10 years ago and having like mind blown. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure they've been doing it in Italy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Balsamic vinegar gelato.
It's like there was that phase when people were putting potato chips on their sandwiches. And at the time, it was like really noble and like, oh, you're really interesting for doing that. And now when you put your chips in, it's just like, you're basic. Leave me alone. At this point now, I'm like, oh, wow, chips on the side of the sandwich? Can you even do that?
Like people discovered texture. Wow. So.
Yes.
Do you have any flavors that elude you that you are going to figure out?
You know, before we came out this summer with the cherry one, the cherry was a hard flavor. So I love...
This is the Darkoni cherry flavor. Mm-hmm.
I love cherry ice cream so much, but I'm oftentimes disappointed in cherry ice cream because I don't feel like the natural cherry flavor comes out. It either tastes artificial or there isn't the cherry flavor. There's bits of cherry in there, but you don't get the flavor. So we spent years actually on this flavor trying to get it right. There's a lot of flavorings that even though they're natural, they taste bad. Mm-hmm. not like cherry.
And probably in every category, not just cherry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then that brings about like medicine flavor, right? Like, so it took us a long time, but we were very happy with how this finally came out. But it was several years in the making. So we used the Door County cherries, which helped, as well as like a cherry puree in it as well. And it turned out nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. I don't think we've ever put anything out that we weren't 100% that this is it. Even when we had our beer flavor.
The beer took a while.
That took a while. And still to this day, I don't think we quite nailed it. But
it was good enough. Where it was like, okay.
Well, we put chocolate covered pretzels in it.
Yeah. What are you missing in the beer flavor? What's the
man? There was a certain depth to it that I personally did not feel that we quite got there. So you know, we adjusted the recipe, and then again, put the chocolate covered pretzels in there to kind of take a different angle at it. You know, for the beer and pretzel versus just beer. So I think that those two complemented each other then.
You were emulating a lighter beer. True.
What was that?
You have to use a dark beer.
Yeah.
You have to use a dark beer in it, but it still emulates a lighter beer. Right. It's just because the butter fat, you know, there's so much butter fat in our ice cream. So the flavors are oftentimes harder to bring out.
Well, and that is tough because even when you're tasting things, you know, if you're tasting like cheese and wine, you have to be careful because the minute you eat the cheese, your tongue gets coated with fat.
Yeah.
And then you can't actually taste the wine.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, the spirits or whatever you're tasting with it. So I would imagine that makes sense.
And it can be very different tasting the ice cream out of the machine compared to after it freezes down too. Like the flavor can often change a little bit too.
Is that an air?
Or is that a freezing water temperature
difference?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's tricky sometimes.
Well, and probably like so many things, you could taste it in the mixture, the ice cream mixture.
Right.
But then when it gets frozen, you taste less of it.
Correct.
So then the recommendation is you just put a pint out with a warning on the side that says eat when melted.
That's exactly how you should eat our whiskey ice cream.
Well, whiskey,
we tell
our
customers that all the time. So you grab some whiskey out of
it.
Yep. Just let it sit out until it almost just gets a little glistening on the top. And then the bourbon starts to come and they coalesce a little more. And that's when the flavors just pop out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could make a light beer like a Natty Light or a Keystone Light flavored beer. And when someone orders it, you could just give them a cup of ice cubes. And be like, there you go.
They'll love it.
And they'll be like, wow, the flavors are really coming through. Just like, that's water. You are consuming water.
That's the third good idea.
That would be a great April Fool's thing you could do.
Customers love April Fool's.
At the ice cream shop.
Have you done April Fool's flavors before?
We haven't.
No.
Maybe we should.
Maybe you do like the funny Jelly Belly.
like the earwax flavor. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you could make it taste great.
Yeah, this could be fun.
Just celebrating
all the ideas.
Does the earwax jelly beans actually taste like? Because that was when the Harry Potter books were big. There was like the Burt's flavored.
It's legit. Our kids have had them. Like,
they do
taste like dirt and
absolutely.
Yeah,
I have tasted a couple of those flavors, and you know, there's one that's called Fart, and it just sort of has this. You know,
doesn't make a sound when
does it? Does it taste like fart, Lori?
Well, it does kind of.
Sulfur?
It starts sulfurous. Sort of a thing going on there.
Yeah.
Why did you eat it?
You don't want to think about it too hard. Well, I think it was in a surprise pack, and like you would eat them,
that
you didn't
really
know what they were, and then you could look up to
every
see
flavor
which
beans,
one was
right?
You could pop in like a grape flavor and a fart flavor, and it would smell like someone farted on some
grapey
wine.
Farts, yeah. Oh wow, the 12-year-olds have taken over the podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about, Lori. Farts is a very mature conversation. And you brought it up. You don't get to blame me on this one.
I know.
My ice cream to flatulence really easily in this conversation.
Seamless transition.
That's the theme of today's podcast.
Lactose intolerance.
Oh, nice one. There you go.
Oh, no.
We've gone too far this time.
We should circle back to the more serious part. You guys started with more of a wholesale business.
Correct.
Like you made ice cream for restaurants and for retail.
And we did. So when we started this and moved, a lot of excitement, but also a little naive as well. Like, you know, Lauren said, we didn't have any business background. She had her experience in ice cream shops and, you know, working and things like that. I had none.
Oh, so you had worked.
And purposely, yes.
Yes.
When I was in graduate school, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a fun escapist sort of
it was.
Place while you're in graduate
school. Was it like
school?
A Dairy Queen? Or
no,
was it, like
it was a mom. It's a wonderful ice cream shop up in St. Paul. It's Izzy's Ice Cream. I would tell anyone to go there. And worked with them for a couple of years, and then they kind of became our mentors when we opened our ice cream shop. Mm-hmm.
What was something that you learned there that you probably wouldn't have been able to learn anywhere else?
I think a lot of it was, I mean, before that, I had never seen ice cream made on a large scale at all. And it was, they make their ice cream similar to what we do, you know, same kind of batch freezers. That's not a huge scale by any means, but bigger than what you do at home. So I got to see all that process, which was very telling. And, you know, I didn't come in it totally blindly.
It also did not scare you away.
It didn't. I was still interested after. Yeah. So
I was scared away after about 6 months. But Lauren had to pull me back in and try to make it work.
No, Steve.
I do.
A lot of threats, a lot of manipulation. And here
no.
I am.
But you started wholesale. Did you do that on purpose?
And we did.
Is that how you would have done it again?
Well, it wasn't our initial plan. Our initial plan was we wanted to have a retail, but we were two teachers and didn't quite have the capital to open up a retail shop.
I suppose that's overhead. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Yes. So decided that wholesale was a better route to go and kind of give it a try. You know, we worked farmers markets for the first couple of years just to get our product in people's hands and have them taste it. And we just did a lot of cold calling until to see if people would want to carry us.
And we worked with, well, Lauren, for the most part, I mean, 99% did our business plan through Wibbick. And we were able to, after the business plan was completed, to get a small loan through Wibbick. I mean, they're an amazing...
Wibbick has saved so many
they're amazing.
People in terms of, well, not save them, but help them.
Yes, absolutely. Really, to continue to do so and grow. And I mean, they're essential in the, just speaking of small business owners in the small business world. Absolutely, hands down. And they gave us a small, we got a small loan just to get our ingredients and get the used batch freezer and you know, some rent and some basic ingredients. And then we're lucky it took off that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would have been something if everything just went to pot and everything just went on the, you know, just didn't work out. We'd still be able to pay back the loan because I was still working full time as an educator. We weren't at any point to let go of that. So it was a risk, but it was a calculated risk, I guess, for us.
Yeah.
And then things just went forward from there. And speaking of that, we brought a visual to the podcast as we
as
most people do.
And podcast famously a visual medium. Yeah, famously, yes.
We could not resist, but we are looking at the first article for On Milwaukee. I believe that Lori had written. Is everything correct so far?
We might be true. Yes.
Yes. And back in 2011, she came to where we were making the ice cream at Skyline Catering at the time where we just started. And that pretty much was our marketing budget at the time. It's her article, lovely article on like a poster board, styrofoam board. How many inches
by? As you can see, the logo has been updated since then.
Imagine if you had met me, though. You could have had the Coldsmobile. You could have had...
Opportunities lost, man. I don't know.
I mean, who do you want on your side? Do you want a culture writer who eats trash food? Or do you want a dining expert who actually knows what she's talking about?
Well, it does.
But didn't come up with Coldsmobile.
For things.
Yeah. And it's the title of Lori's article is Purple Door Ice Cream, It's Anything But Vanilla.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yep. Wonderful.
I felt very clever at that time.
As you
it
should.
It was clever.
It's pretty clever, except they do have vanilla. So
I don't think you get the joke, man.
Lori.
But it was our conversations with people like you, Lori, that was really, we still don't have a marketing budget. I mean, how we put our money is we don't have a marketing budget. We invest in different things, you know, the community and our nonprofit stuff. So it's people like yourself and these articles that allowed us to get traction in the community and be able to build brand.
Well, and people eating your ice cream and talking about it. I remember it was funny because after I wrote that, I would find you and I would get excited. You know, and inevitably I would say something to someone because, you know, you're like, oh, those are cool people.
Why, thank you.
You should eat their ice cream. Yeah. So, well, and you guys kind of, I mean, trajectory-wise, you had a really kind of serendipitous travel into having a scoop shop. Mm-hmm. Because you sort of, your first foray into that was at Clock Shadow Creamery.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
And they needed to fill up a space mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. something that would maybe attract
people. That timing
people.
Was really great.
Yeah. And you were like, ooh, good experiment, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were there for...
A year and a half, about.
Okay. Yeah.
It was over a year, yeah. And we made the ice cream there as well, which we learned, you might think cheese and ice cream, good... to make together.
It would seem logical.
Both dairy. No, not at all, because it's real hot in the cheese room when you're mm-hmm. making cheese.
Oh, sure. So you're fighting.
And we were freezing stuff down. So, yeah. So we used to have to kind of coordinate that with them of when we would make and they would make. And
so one of you is making something in the middle of the night.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Sort of felt like that.
But it was still great, you know. And we were there for about a year and a half. And then we built our shop on... Second and
like
Pittsburgh,
just blocks away.
Yeah, a few blocks away. We loved Walker's Point and wanted to stay in that area. So, mm-hmm. so our production is all there in our retail shop, and that's been five and a half years.
Five and a half.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how long? So, and then this past year or two has been like a whirlwind.
Past year, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you've expanded. You're in the Sherman Phoenix, mm-hmm. and now the Mequon.
Correct.
Talk to me. Expansion is one of those things where I feel like people sit on that for a while. You know, they either expand really fast without really thinking about it, like all the opportunities, but you had to have been getting approached by people all the time. Like, we want your ice cream here. Come to this space.
We did. And just over the years, we had several people who are, you know, building something up in this area or in this area. So they would just check in with us. Say, hey, we're doing this. We'd love to have you. What do you think of this? And we weren't comfortable doing that at all until this moment. And, you know, after about...
How did you decide? Like the
boy.
It just kind of seemed like the right time. It had been a while, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was four and a half years almost since we opened the retail shop. And we'd been approached by a lot of people and... just didn't know if we wanted to take it on. Like, we really were happy with where Purple Door was going, and we wanted to expand more with our community initiatives and just different catering and online. And, you know, we were trying different things. But then both of these projects came up at the same time. And we loved both of them. Like, we really felt that both projects were positive for what they were doing. And we had... committed to one, and then the other one was like immediately afterwards. We're like, yep, we should do that too. What are we getting ourselves into?
Yeah, because they probably came kind of one right after the other.
They did.
Said yes to Sherman Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was Mequon first mm-hmm. came up.
We agreed to it first, and then Sherman came, and we loved that one too, so... we just went for it.
Yeah. It took quite a few meetings sitting down with each other just saying, this is our first expansion. Can we literally handle another expansion at the same time? Yeah. And what does that mean and how do we make that work? What's the impact community-wise? I mean, because we look at all those things to see if, are these the right moves, you know? And the bottom line was they're, like you had said, Lauren, they both had positive community components to it and... sometimes you just have to do it, you know? So we figured it out. And
we sat down with our staff too. We have great staff. And we said, are you in? Because if you're not, we can't do it. Yeah. So they were in. So
just took a whole team approach.
Yeah.
Had good luck with retaining staff?
We have. We've had a lot of good luck.
See, you're nice people. you need a verification.
When you look at kind of what the successes are as... just with Purple Door for us, one of those is the retention we've had of our employees. So you think you must be doing something right, you know, because we're a small little business and we've had great retention with wonderful, wonderful people. And we feel very fortunate that they found us and we found them and that they stuck around for so long. And I don't know. I mean, we also try to, with our business, create, and this is one of the other catalysts for the expansion was, we try to create Purple Door in a way that is also going to give opportunity to some of our other employees, some of our managers, so they can grow within the community themselves and just grow as people and professionals. And by the expansion, especially both of them, it gave space for our wholesale manager, Jake, retail manager, Megan, you know, to really step up professionally and to be a part of these expansions so they can, you know, experience that as well.
I should take on more responsibility, yeah. You know, and
because you, there at are a certain two point, you, there's,
and now there's three places to be, right?
Yes. Yes.
And we learned that. We went to see Rick Bayless talk, and mm-hmm. he talked specifically about that, how he opens different restaurants and how he does certain things. He can take one chef that may not be the executive chef, may head chef, sous chef, something like that, but take them and put them in another restaurant that allows them now to rise to that at the other restaurant. Sure. And we were really inspired by that, of how he talked about how
to not get bigger model, per se, like right. your physical location bigger, but to open new opportunities so your staff can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you're hearing more and more restaurants talking about that and about building. I mean, you mentioned Kurt Vogel before, mm-hmm. and now he's part of the group that owns mm-hmm. Bass Bay Brew House. And they're branching off in directions. And part of that, because they wanted to create, you know, a restaurant entity that had a culture mm-hmm. of good, you know, where people were working hard, but not so much that they were stressed out and, you know, ending up, you know, doing drugs or drinking too much or just, you know, losing their minds. And that's part of how they retain their people. And then the next piece of it was, well, how do we give people responsibility and let them move up, you know, right. and make more and get experiences that they need to go do what they want to do?
And that's a challenge with small business. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Because there's only so much
exactly.
to do.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I love that. And I think it's a model that works,
mm-hmm.
you yeah. know, because yeah. you get buy-in from the people that work for you. And
yeah, we've seen
it's
that.
Ultimately, you're helping them mm-hmm. in the long run.
Yeah. And it's, it developed these relationships with your employees that you otherwise wouldn't have. So they approach it in a way that's more than just a job. There's a sense of, I don't know, that they, because they have that relationship with you also as a person, that they're willing to, you know, maybe do more or just step up when they just need somebody to step up. So you're building that professional and personal relationship with your employees, which also makes the days that are really hard a little bit easier for Lauren and I, as you have such, surrounded by such good people. And it's, you know, makes it.
Now, the Sherman Phoenix, to me, like, you know, the Mequon Public Market is beautiful mm-hmm. and is a really cool place, but the Sherman Phoenix is a special place. Do mm-hmm. you guys want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah.
Well, it was the Sherman Phoenix. It's, if you recall, it's several years ago when
the riots?
Yeah, but what? How many years ago? It was just a few years ago. There was riots in the area that ultimately, it was a African-American man who was unarmed or shot, and they went, you know, the officer who shot him, there's no charges. There's all of this, it's like this boiling over in the community that just kind of like had
enough. There were a lot of unanswered questions.
A lot of unanswered questions.
People had pent yep. up, yep. you know, anger and frustration yep. that I think, yeah,
yep.
and it resulted in some unrest.
Absolutely, that's put very well. And during that, the riot and unrest, the bank building that we're in now, a fire started in the bank building and essentially the guts of it were just destroyed. And the project was a symbol of kind of, and that's what they call the Sherman Phoenix, is kind of coming out of that sad place, like as a phoenix coming out of the ashes and making it a symbol of positive wellness, of peace, within the community. So, and healing more than anything. And when we spoke to Julie Kaufman about that project, we just wanted to know how can we be a part of it, whether we're a vendor or we're this or this, how can we
support it? Yeah, because Julie Kaufman is a developer and she partnered with people mm-hmm. in and from the neighborhood
Correct.
To make
yep.
it happen.
Yep. So that's what drew us in there. You know, we have our community initiative, our community bottom and social bottom line, and this fit exactly right into it. So we just wanted to at least in some way support it. And it turned out that us being in the building worked out and to have more of that investment. So we, of course, we want to step into that.
Well, and that particular, you know, and I guess I would consider it to be a food hall.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
there's some retail businesses mm-hmm. in
some mixed
that space.
Use, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely, you know, there's lots of vendors who kind of, that's their first location. Mm-hmm. Lots of unique vendors.
Yeah.
And then a couple where I always think it's good to have something that people know. Purple Door was among, you know, kind of the established businesses that were, you know, if you're going to get somebody to go there, be like, oh, now I have a Purple Door next near me. And then they walk in and there's mm-hmm. all of these other things to do and to try.
Yeah. And so, just the community spirit that's in that location is pretty unique and awesome for something that large with so many different vendors.
And has that project, I mean, do you feel that location is growing and really kind of growing into its purpose there? I mean,
yeah,
it is. We've got the first, we're coming up to our first year anniversary.
I was going to say, it was about a year
ago. November. Yeah.
Time flies for me, so I can't remember when.
So I think having that first year underneath, kind of under our belt, and as a project itself, like you said, there's a lot of new business owners who are a part of that project. So it takes time to establish and stabilize yourself. But we're really looking forward to it this second year. So we've kind of worked out some bugs within the project within the first year, and we think the second year is going to hold different levels, going to kind of step up, you know, a notch or two as far as kind of just growth and stability.
And people who haven't been there, I mean, if you're traveling to Milwaukee, go there.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Beautiful space,
yes.
Too.
It's a beautiful space. There's beautiful places to drink coffee and get work done. In fact, mm-hmm. I always think, like, I have it in my head that I'm going to go one of these days when I have some free time, when I'm watching, yeah. You know, to just go there and get some work done. Because it's a great place to do that. And there's always a good vibe. It seems mm-hmm. like
there
people
is.
Who walk through that door, whatever they had going on with them out on the sidewalk sort of goes away mm-hmm. as they walk in.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's just
come in
the
and
smiling
be there.
Faces.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so.
Am I allowed to ask about the Harry Connick Jr.?
Oh, the garbage Sunday?
Oh, man. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah. I know. I was looking back.
Forgot about that
was
too.
Awesome.
I was looking back. And for those who don't know the story, I'll fill you in.
So it was an exciting day in Purple Door.
So Harry Connick Jr. performed, I believe, at the Riverside, perhaps mm-hmm. one of those. And he asked the crowd if someone would get him some custard. And some people came back.
Kind of a diva question. I was like, Harry.
Yeah, I mean, he gave the people tickets.
Sure.
That's
why.
Okay. So it wasn't just like, you, peasants in the crowd, summon me custard.
Although, you know, there would have been people who would have
of
done
course.
It for free.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But some people came back with Purple Tour ice cream, and Harry Connick Jr. was like, this isn't custard. Which, correct, but also, mm-hmm. like, Harry, come on. And there was a quote from the owner of Leon's, and let me pull this up, because I remember I wrote about this because it was like a kind of a whole, because he had a TV show filming as well, Harry Connick
Jr.
That's
right. Yep.
And the quote was from the owner of Leon's. Apparently at the concert he was talking to the concert growers about the frozen custard, so somebody went to the gas station and got some garbage and brought it back.
Purple Door.
And then when we learned more, it turned out that it was Purple Door ice cream. So take me through all of your emotions that day.
The next morning.
You're like, free publicity. Wait, what's going on?
Well, yes, actually we got a text from one of our friends who was at the show that was like, Harry Connick is eating your ice cream on stage right now. And we're like, somebody take a photo. Like, somebody do something. And then it was only after the fact that then we heard that he really wanted custard. And then there's this whole big thing. And we thought, oh, well, that's not good.
We thought,
this is negative.
What can we do with this?
So we tried to turn it.
We turned that baby right around.
I was going to say, you guys did great. Because I think it was pretty much the next day. You
it was.
Announced the, mm-hmm.
the garbage
Sunday.
Yeah.
Which was a scoop of ice cream.
Every
single one of your 10 toppings.
And we gave some money from each Sunday
River
to the Riverkeeper cleanup.
Yeah. That organization. Yes. Yep. So we gave a portion, what was it, a buck off each Sunday or something that we gave to them?
So.
You know,
maybe one day.
We swept the garbage out of the river and into your sundae.
Oh, yeah,
that was fun, though. Yeah, I had forgotten about that one.
That's right.
Well, I remember being really stressed out because I wrote that piece, and it was one of those that, like, you had to kind of keep putting it together by, like, piecemeal. Because, like, you'd hear, like, one detail over here about, like, oh, he asked for this. And then you'd hear one detail over here, and you'd get the quote from him over here. And then the next day... Not to bring up an ugly story, but the next day was the Leon's Spanish speaking controversy.
Oh, sure.
And so, next day, I saw all these people posting stuff online, like, I'm never going to Leon's ever again. And I was so concerned that it was something that I had written, that people read my article and were like, Leon, like, I had, like, defamed somebody or something. And I went through, like, 5 minutes of, like, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? I've broken a custard stand. What have I done?
So you were relieved that it was a racist.
I mean...
No.
Like, I wouldn't say relieved.
You were relieved that it wasn't your
fault. I was relieved that it wasn't my fault. I was happy.
That's fair.
Yeah, I get it.
I was not excited about the racism.
No. Well, that's why that came out of my mouth, and I was like, no, that's not how you would feel.
It's just racism. That was a weird chunk of...
You never know what's going to come across each day.
And especially in a city like Milwaukee, that, like, Milwaukee gets very attached to brands, and we're very protective of
loyal.
Very loyal. I think Purple Door has earned a lot of that loyalty over these years, and I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
That's it.
Our hope.
It's our hope, and it's taken a... It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Worked very hard to kind of earn that loyalty, because that's what you do. You have to earn it no matter what. So, thank you. I hope that's true. I feel like that's true. So thank you, all of our customers.
Was there one thing with running an ice cream shop that you were like, we will never do this in our ice cream shop? Like, is there a flavor that you were like, we're never going to do this? Or was there, like, a common ice cream shop, like, cliche or something that you were like, no. Not in our place.
Well, the only thing, one thing that comes to mind is so for many years, we have had a request to make Blue Moon ice cream, which is it's very Michigan. It's also very, very Wisconsin, like in this area.
Yes.
And all the flavors that we make, we do without, you know, food coloring and artificial ingredients. You know, I mean, we have, like, our cookies and cream and stuff like that, but for anything that's going to end up in a pint on a shelf, there's going to be... We don't have anything artificial in there. And Blue Moon, traditionally, is kind of your old school ice cream where there's...
Yes, most things in nature, not blue.
Not from blueberries. Right. So we just couldn't. And we've got a lot of questions, a lot of push to do it. And we try to explain why we can't do that.
The customers were not happy
that we
didn't have that in our shop. Right.
Or Superman. Those two flavors.
Yeah. So funny, because Blue Moon ice cream is so popular. But every rendition of it tastes different.
Yes, it does.
You know, Cops has a Blue Moon. Babe has
all
a Blue
different.
Moon.
And it's interesting you bring
so
up Superman,
too.
What
does Blue Moon taste like? And it's like, that depends which one you eat.
And it's interesting you bring up Superman flavored ice cream, which feels like a new thing, kind of.
A little bit.
And it's one of those, that's also one that, like, if you asked me what flavor Superman is, I'd be like, colorful? I don't know.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
Flavor is yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Skittles. It's like, right. It's purple flavored.
Uh-huh. But because of, you know, we had so many requests for that, we were able to, just recently, this summer, we launched Purple Moon. So we figured out a way how we can emulate and recreate Blue Moon and within our business values and the food that we make. We stood by that and we figured out a way to do it based on our business values.
And then it was like a light bulb moment. We were like,
yeah.
Purple Moon? That's what we're going to do? According to our general manager, it was my last greatest idea. I'll never have a better one.
Well, you could bring Coldsmobile by.
I'll tell him.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And so that was kind of a celebration too of your 8th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. And the ice cream is indeed purple.
It is purple.
Which is a color that occurs more naturally.
That comes from blueberries and raspberries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And our Purple Moon, I almost called it Blue Moon, it's not. Our Purple Moon ice cream is like a almond-y citrus flavor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which are elements that are found, you know. Some of them taste a little like Fruit Loops.
Yes, that's true.
Which, Fruit Loops, by the way, taste like lemongrass.
Oh.
That's actually one of the primary, you know, all really? Of the flavor compounds that they use. A primary is lemongrass.
There you go.
So, which is sort of funny. So you're introducing children mm-hmm. to a relatively, you know, yeah. it's not a super common flavor until mm-hmm. you get into like Thai food and,
right.
you know.
It's in Fruit Loops.
In a Fruit Loop, yes.
Yeah, anyway. We don't have Fruit Loops in our ice cream.
No.
What was your favorite ice cream when you were a kid, Matt?
Ooh.
I'm going to go around the table, but...
That's really tough, actually. I mean, I'm a sweet tooth, so honestly, anything. Like, yeah. I think if you ask me, like, a good chocolate is always going to, like, be great. Yeah.
Really?
Good chocolate ice cream is really great. Now, mint chip is pretty outstanding. I like trying some of the more conventional ones, though. Like, that's always fun, too, to try something that's a little... That kind of is kind more of a specialty and is so.
How about you, Steve?
Mint chip when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It still is. So when we made our mint chip, we had to make sure it was really
but it really
good. You know, because you have that emotional, standard. That's right, yeah. the emotional mm-hmm. connection to that just growing up.
Yeah.
But definitely mint chip. And even now with all of our flavors, whenever I'm there and I get something, it's could be mint chip. Usually it's vanilla or malted vanilla. And that's about as far as I go because those are my places. Those are my comfort comfort choices.
For me, the big thing with mint chip is that it has to have good chocolate.
Oh yes,
in it that's absolutely. Not waxy.
Oh,
because yep. the worst so mint chip many ice that creams are. Have like mm-hmm. the chewy chips.
I was gonna say I feel like mint chip is secretly one of the tougher ice creams to make. And you can correct me on this, just because the mint flavor is so particular, and you can go mm-hmm. way too hard on the mint. Mm-hmm.
And cloying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Or you can go not hard enough on the mint and you mm-hmm. just have chocolate chip ice cream. And then it's like, do you do the chips? Do you do like the kind of...
The flakes.
The flakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so particular. And it's so particular to people's preferences. And I got to imagine that's a hard kind of concoction to put together.
Yeah. Especially with mint. I mean, mint is one of those flavors that you have to be very... thoughtful and about how you're making it, because just like you're saying, it could just knock in the face and ruin it, or it could be very weak and ruin it. So with our mint chip, I mean, we spent a lot of time on that to make
sure
it works.
On the good balance, yeah.
On the good balance of all that.
Steve was happy with it, so.
I was. I like that damn beer ice cream.
Always the beer ice cream.
Always the beer ice cream.
What was it for you, Lauren?
I am a berry lover, so raspberries. Any kind of raspberry ice cream. I love.
Seeds or no seeds?
No seeds. I'm not opposed, though, if you're making like a small like batch at home of fresh raspberry ice cream, leave the seeds in.
Although, you know what? I made the mistake once of making a raspberry chocolate ice cream at home mm-hmm. and blended it in a blender.
Yeah.
And the seeds... gave a weird, weird bitterness. It was such a fail to the whole recipe. kind of funny. Like,
that's disappointing. You know,
it was the worst. Yeah. I mean, and it was so disappointing because I used really good chocolate. Uh-huh. You know, so it's a deep, deep chocolate with raspberry in it. And I thought, well, we'll use whole raspberries, right? Mm-hmm. Well, to just get them mixed around in there, I threw them in the blender.
You ruined it.
I knew it didn't end up well when you started with, I made the mistake of, this is bad.
I remember in kindergarten, either kindergarten or first grade, we did the kind of kids version of making ice cream where it's like you put the ice in a bag mm-hmm. or whatever. And I messed it up. And it got to the point that like it was so bad that I didn't want to eat ice cream for a really long time. Because you're supposed to put a little bit of salt in it.
Yes.
The rock salt.
And I think we put in too much because it came out and it was really inedible. Oh. It was like really salty.
Did the salt end up with the ice cream?
Yes.
The salt is just supposed to promote the ice from melting.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, it prevented me from eating it, so that's what I learned. Do we want to seamlessly transition into our unique version of the sparkling water second?
We do.
This week going to be the ice cream second?
Yes. So let's break.
Yeah.
You can make little pattery footsteps. Yeah. I'm going to go to
Put in like a one of those like TV like.
Do, do, do. We
yeah. Like please stand by.
Hello, Gabe.
Well, hello, Lori.
This message is for you. Put in something. Someone retrieving ice cream.
Yes, producer Gabe, this is a message from the podcast.
Hello, Matthew. I have received your message.
You should hopefully be cutting all of this out from the podcast too, this part.
Great. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Did you bring spoons, Steve?
I did not bring spoons.
Oh, sorry. Didn't bring spoons.
So the sound you're probably hearing right now is people smacking their lips because we've already started our sparkling water second, now recalled the ice cream second, because they brought in ice cream for us and we wanted to try it. They brought in some of their Purple Moon, which you just heard about, and they also brought in some of the Door County Cherry Chocolate Chunk, which you also heard about. Lori, food expert, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm going to start with the cherry, all right, since you're not tasting that one.
Because I do not like cherries because I'm a monster.
Yeah. We'll have to work on that. And the cherry is delicious. It's got a good... So Cherry Garcia was a favorite ice cream of mine.
Ben and Jerry's.
Many years ago. They've changed something about it.
I haven't eaten it in a long time, but I also used to love it.
And it's been quite a while. But they changed something at some point, and I stopped eating it. But I was really, really sad. Mm-hmm. So I love cherries. In fact, there's a Cops flavor, which I've been trying to think of what it is, what the name of it is. And it was like a boozy cherry flavor. But I can't place it. It was a really huge, it was one of my favorites when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And I know, so this is how I know children can eat boozy ice cream. My parents were very bad parents because they always let me have the cherry ice cream.
Or good parents. Yeah.
And this has like the elements of both of those. So for me, it's a really nostalgic,
good
flavor.
And we did work on it for years, Lori.
And that's for the Purple Moon, Lori?
And I really like the Purple Moon. It's so fruity. I think I would have a hard time telling you. I mean, we talked about how it's berries and, you know, and citrus and almond, which I can pick out those flavors knowing that.
Yeah.
But they're just kind of seamlessly knit together in a way that I think it's part of why people are like, oh, what's in Blue Moon? And
you don't know.
Everybody argues, like, who knows what those flavors
it's
are?
A universal mystery flavor.
What do you think?
I'm a big Mr. fan. Matt. This might actually be the first time I've had Blue Moon ice cream. Mm.
Really?
Or in this case, Purple Moon ice cream. Yeah, I've never really had it. It was one of those things that I'm not a big berry person. So I always assumed that Blue Moon was some sort of fruit flavored ice cream. And I was always like, pass. No. And so this is really tasty. I really like it. And you're right. There is kind of a vague isn't the right word, but there's such like a blend of flavors going on. But you can taste the almond. It's a very mature sweetness as opposed to a cloying one,
along with a little bit of citrus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah,
you could almost get Fruit Loops out of there.
You could. You really could.
This is the better version of Fruit Loops.
Actually,
we'll take it.
Okay, I'm gonna say it's hard to eat ice cream
while doing a podcast.
Talking to a microphone at the same time.
Long so already finished yours off.
So I have one more question for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And also I have to find out about your favorite horror movies.
Oh, that's right.
And that is, okay, so it's been almost a decade. Mm. You're still happy.
Still smiling.
So what's still exciting about running an ice cream business for you now?
Well, one thing that never really changes is the excitement of coming up with new flavors. And we get really...
How many do you have?
We have over 200 now.
Oh, okay.
That we make. And they, you know...
Do they all end up in rotation? Is that like 200 success
A majority
flavors?
Of them.
I'd say vast majority. I'd say over a season, I would say almost all of them get in there sometimes.
Most of them, yeah.
You know, we miss one, but...
But when we create a new flavor and it turns out well, we get really excited about it. And that's like what we eat then.
Because we're... And then you drink 4 glasses of wine and say, let's think of
what's next?
Yeah.
So luckily, that's a part of the business that I hope never changes, because I mean, there's so much you can do with ice cream that it, but I think opening up, you know, in Mequon and at Sherman Park really brought a whole new level to our business as well. And we're still learning a lot from both of those places.
I think what is exciting for me is because we've been doing this for so long, we kind of know what we're doing to a certain level. I don't mean to be facetious.
Sometimes.
But really, it's such a constant learning all the time. But that anxiety of not knowing has lessened, and that's kind of turned into excitement.
So that's made it
of what's
far more
next.
Joyful.
Yes.
At most days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Much more enjoyable.
And just the excitement of what can we do with this, you know, whether it's with the community, whether it's with our environmental initiatives, or you name it, just with the shop itself, to know that there's could be something else on the horizon, and we kind of know how to get there at this point. You know, that to me, that's the exciting part. Is that we're just not as dumb as we used to be.
Yay! That is the best part of just getting older, right?
It is, yes.
Every day you feel that way. And then you do something dumb and you're like, I thought I was over this. Speaking of which, so the ice creams, I had a scoop of each in my bowl.
She's mixing them now.
And now I'm mixing them up. And no, they're actually remarkably good together.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, if
so
you,
now
if
you
need
can make
to
a purple
a
moon, Door County cherry, chocolate chunk.
Door County purple moon, chocolate chunk.
Oof.
Yeah. Cherry County moon.
That's a whole lot of goodness right there.
Yes.
But, door chair. Wait. No, hard,
never mind. Well, Lori tries to come up with the right pun. We have to ask the most important question. What's your favorite horror movie?
This is going to be a grave disappointment for me because I don't watch horror movies. Ah! I apologize. I'm like, Lori, my
but
mind.
That was a good pun. Grave disappointment.
Thank you.
Lauren's just Caddyshack.
No, and Steve enjoys horror movies.
Oh, I've got,
and I
I've
refuse
got two answers for you right
to
now.
Watch with them. So
I'm going to say that your favorite horror movie is the tunnel sequence from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Anyways,
it is creepy.
Oh, that
it's
is creepy.
One of the truly most horrifying scenes yes. of any movie of all time.
There you go.
You wonder after that scene how it became a children's uh-huh. movie.
I was just talking with somebody about
and
this.
I don't think it was
last night. I think. Kids' movies are scarier in a lot of cases than adults' movies because adult movies rely on jump scares and things jumping out and going to bloogie woogie woo and like bloody wounds and gore and like really obvious stuff. Whereas like kids' movies are scary because it's like psychological, really. It's like it's more like tickle the back of the brain creepy because like nothing scary happens in the Willy Wonka tunnel scene. It's just the flashing colors and all these
with
like
Gene
weird...
Wilder singing.
Yeah, it's so it's interesting. I think
and
kids...
thinking, are they ever going to get out?
Yes.
Yeah, like it's easy to be like, oh yeah, we're like going to cut this person's head off and then it'll be really creepy and scary. Whereas like with kids, it's the kids' movies. It's like we're going to have some characters called Wheelers and they're going to have wheels for arms and legs. Eggs, and they're going to track down pit kids so that the evil witch can take their heads and put them on. And it's just like that. Like with kids' movies, you're a lot more thoughtful. And this is not a kids' movie horror movie podcast, but I need to get your answers so before we call it a podcast.
Definitely The Shining.
Yes.
Hands down. One of the,
that is the
overall,
correct
one of the greatest
answer,
movies
Lori.
Ever made. One of the greatest movies ever made.
Coming in with
for
the
so many
Conjuring, Lori. That movie's barely 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's not even in school.
And then one, just in its traditional sense, is The Birds. Ooh. I think at the time it was created, I thought it was genius.
You're going to have to go to the Milwaukee Film Festival. They're screening it on the big screen for the film
you're
festival.
You're kidding me.
Oh, Steve. No, they're gonna,
that movie made a childhood classmate of mine. Like never, she hated birds.
I hate birds.
She
and Steve
like
watches that movie all the time.
A tiny bit of that, and she was terrified. And like,
I can, yeah. I understand.
Yeah. Well, okay,
we can call it. We can call it
wait,
a podcast.
What's yours?
Now. What's my, I mean, The Shining.
Oh,
The Shining
is, as well.
The Shining is a classic. I say I read the book.
Mm. I bet that's even freakier.
More horrific, but see that's one of those experience where it's like that experience with a book,
mm-hmm.
and it was scary. And then I saw the movie, and I was like, "Yeah, that was okay."
Yeah, yeah. See, I had that with Clockwork
like, I think
Orange.
I think that it was well done, but
yeah, I remember reading the book Clockwork Orange and thinking it was incredible, and then seeing the movie, and I was like, "This is so goofy." And a lot of like it's very like
what you imagine is not quite what
and I always held it against the movie and that's why I don't like reading books before I see the movies. I should have, thank God I ended that sentence because it would have been really bad. Like, and that's why I don't like reading books. Yeah. Period.
Well, and to my an excuse for me, and where the first movie I think of is The Conjuring, is that I did not watch horror movies for most of my life because mm-hmm. I had too much issue with, I couldn't block them out. I'm and my you. Imagination is overactive mm-hmm. and I would have really bad dreams mm-hmm. for yes. weeks after watching something scary. Like The Wizard of Oz, that's and The Flying Monkeys.
The mm-hmm. first nightmares I had.
I could not yep. walk down the dark yep. hallway to my bedroom yep. after watching that movie. So
that's
I really,
the Thriller music video. I remember seeing the Thriller music video at too young of an age yeah. and being like, oh my God, Michael Jackson's going to kill me.
But Paul was a big fan and really is not scared. He's the guy going, oh, look, somebody's going to jump out from, you know, like whatever. I mean, most movies. Mm-hmm. But he really liked them. So I made an effort.
Are you listening, Lauren?
I've watched The Birds with you.
I've probably only watched horror movies for maybe the last 7 years. And I binged a bunch of them a number of years ago. And among them, like, was The Conjuring. So it is more top of That's mind right. than the last time I saw.
Have you ever
the
seen
The Shining? Was it's been a while.
Have you ever seen The Ring?
I did.
It's better than its reputation. It got really made fun of really easily, but watching it, it's like legitimately creepy.
I remember that being creepy, but not scary.
I think creepy stuff is scarier than scary stuff. It's not hard at all to make me jump, because all you have to do is like make a loud sound yeah. and be like, as there's a critic somewhere, I forget his name now, but he was like, if a possum jumps through my window, I'm going to jump and be scared of it. But that doesn't mean that possum is as genius of like Stephen King. Like, it's easy to startle people. It's hard to like tickle that part of your brain that's like...
Mm-hmm. That's haunted for hours.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's very simple to do that to me.
Me too.
Anyway. Well, anyways, this was our horror podcast. Blood Crush.
It's a good Blood combination. Crush. It's like horror films and... ice cream.
Sure, maybe. Why not?
Welcome to October.
Yeah, exactly. This is now a Halloween podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you even more so for bringing ice cream for us
anytime.
To eat.
Anytime.
Pleasure.
During podcast.
And where can people find you? Kind of on that.
We are, our scoop shops are in Walker's Point, Mequon, and Sherman Park. And we have pints of ice cream at most local grocers around town. And then a handful of, more than a handful of restaurants around town as well.
And they can find you on social media.
Absolutely. Is that what you meant?
Physically, it's good for people to find ice cream as well. But.
Yes. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yes. We're on all those.
Just search a little for Purple Door.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Awesome.
Thank you.
An unusual ice cream second, an unusual sparkling water second, but a very...
It was not a sparkling water second at all.
There was no sparkling.
It was an ice cream eating
and it was frozen
minutes.
Water, so yes. But don't worry, everybody, the food porn minute is still here, the most important part of every episode. And it is even ice cream themed, because Lori's very good at finding these and finding good themed connections.
I try. Sometimes I fail.
Yeah, sometimes you're just like, I don't know, I just like the writing.
Well, sometimes I just can't find anything. Like, when you're looking for something very specific, and it has to be good writing and compelling and... maybe
using big, steamy words.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work.
But this time it did. This is a piece called The Emperor of Ice Cream.
And this is kind of a classic. It's kind of a classic. It's a poem.
Really? By yeah. Wallace Stevens.
Wallace Stevens. That's an old classic poet dude.
You got an old classic poet dude name.
Yeah, Wallace Stevens. Two first names, no less.
Wallace is a great name.
That's my dad's name.
We really?
Yeah, and my brother's. And my grandfather.
We as a people need to bring Wallace back.
So, yeah. In fact, my brother is the third generation. He actually has a Wallace William Francis III on his name.
Oh, there's a guy, this is so tangential, but there's a guy on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their backup quarterback's name is Gardner Minshew II. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's such a very particular name for two people to have been named. Because there had to be a Gardner Minshew I.
And normally you would say junior, like, because that's my dad, but the second. It's very
Gardner
stately.
Minshew Jr. is kind of boring, but the second gets exciting.
Hi, Waldo. You're not listening, but that's what I called my brother since he was since he was a wee lad. So,
well, now it's time for The Emperor of Ice Cream by Waldo Stevens.
Yeah.
And Lori will be our poet this week. So I'll let you take it.
Call the roller of big cigars, the muscular one, and bid him whip.
Whips.
In kitchen cups, concupiscent curds.
Concubines?
Let the wenches dawdle in such dress as they are used to wear, wenches. And let the boys bring flowers in last month's newspapers. Let be finale of scene. The only emperor is the emperor of ice cream. Take from the dresser of deal, lacking the three glass knobs, that sheet on which she embroidered fantails once, and spread it so as to cover her face. If her horny feet protrude,
foot fetish,
they come to show how cold she is and dumb. Let the lamp affix its beam. The only emperor is the emperor of ice cream.
Waldo's horny. Waldo's a kinky one.
Well, and it seems like, I don't know. I read this over a number of times, and
you're still not
I was an English major. And
but you're still not picking up what Waldo's laying down?
Well, I think he's laying down that, you know, there's no rules. The only emperor, the only thing that rules is, you know, the emperor of ice cream.
And also horny feet.
I like this world where there is an emperor of ice cream, by the way.
I would love to live in a world where there was
not to cut this off, all the English majors are getting mad at me. You know, I cannot sit here and talk about this.
Everyone here's just like, how dare you disgrace the good name of Waldo Stevens? And also, do you like that I've just started calling him Waldo now?
Yeah.
Lori, where can people find you?
Oh, I thought you
were... I mean, in a pot...
Like, that sounded like a
cry for help situation. It's just Lori, where are you?
Like,
just
Matt,
come to us.
Matt, you know, I really enjoyed podcasting with you. where can we find? You can find me at Low Frederick on all of the social media platforms.
Twitter,
Facebook, Instagram.
Friendster, MySpace?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's disappointing. Where can people find Food Crush?
Food Crush. Food Crush MKE, all those same channels. And you should find us there.
MySpace.
Mad Friendster. Okay, so Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay. LinkedIn?
MySpace even exist anymore?
I think technically here.
Have you ever been a member of MySpace, Mr. Millennial?
I did. I was dating a girl. I was dating a girl who did not like Facebook and only used MySpace. So
there was a MySpace Facebook backlash.
And then she broke up with me via a haiku that she posted.
Because I was like, see, MySpace was around. Like, MySpace seems like people of my generation were on MySpace.
I'm checking to see if because there was that phase where every band had that.
A lot of bands. Yes. Well, and I think that's sort of what it became.
No, it's like a website.
That's like saying
it's like a website.
Like we're
now.
On Google Plus.
It's like Yahoo now. MySpace. Like there's articles on it and it's weird. I don't like it. It's freaking crazy. Me out. I'm feeling old. The culture's passing me by.
And you know, and I'm afraid I never did get Snapchat.
I'm never going to get Snapchat. I dated someone who had Snapchat too.
Is it TikTok? It's kind of like Snapchat.
TikTok is the new. It's
the new
more
Snapchat.
Like Vine.
Oh, the new
it's
Vine.
It's more the new Vine.
What was wrong with Vine?
It got bought by either Google or Facebook and then they shut it down. Because they couldn't make money off of it. Rest in peace, Vine.
Well, that's silly. Why would you buy a company?
Hashtag rest in power.
That you can't make money off of.
We miss
Smart
you,
move.
I've started actually recently watching a lot of Vines.
Yeah.
Because there's all these compilations on YouTube. So I'm about 8 years behind on culture references now. Because I'm like, I'm just coming in now and I'm like, man, Damn Daniel was great. What a funny video that was.
That's funny.
Lori, where can people find Food Crush? The podcast, not the social.
Food Crush, the podcast. You could, you know, Google us. We're on, you know, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. You know, you can pick us up wherever podcasts can be picked up.
They can't be picked up, Lori. They're digital. They're digital files.
You can pick us up. You can subscribe.
We're not a newspaper. You can find me at A Man About Film.
I have to think about that. I still think that that term is valid, but all right, whatever.
I always wait for you to ask me where you can find me on the internet, and you never do,
well,
Laurie.
And this time I'm purposely withholding that because you're being really, yeah, antagonistic. Matt, dear, dear, lovely Matt Miller, where can we find you?
Boy, this is a real pissy end to this
sucky
episode.
End to this
Disagree,
episode.
I love it. You can find me at A Man About Film on Twitter, on Instagram, and then just look up my name on Facebook. So, Lori, it's been a real treat.
It has, actually.
It literally
it
has.
Really
it
has.
Was a frozen treat.
It was a frozen treat episode. It was great. It was a pleasure to eat ice cream with you.
Aww.
And even all the haranguing, you know.
This is what we do. Because we're like siblings. We're podcast siblings.
Like that. Yeah. I didn't know it. My long lost bro.
Aww. Well, on that lovely note, this has been Food Crush. As always, keep cooking with the Food Crush family.